Epic Challenge, sponsored by the mighty Nissan Navara.
Help! Help! Ah! Oh! Oh, Rob, thank God you're here!
Wait a minute. That's a Type 08 diesel-electric shunter.
Fantastic!
Rob!
Welcome to a very special Scrap Heap Challenge, the show that invites everyday Einsteins to build viable vehicles from the dunes of debris that are the heap.
It's all aboard the Scrap Heap Express as we challenge our teams to build locomotive leviathans with enough pulling power to shift a 30-ton carriage!
And we set this most ambitious of challenges to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the world's first rail locomotive. When it puffed its way along the Merford-Tydfil Railway on the 21st of February 1804 at a top speed of just 5 miles an hour, the Penny Darren sparked a revolution in transport that would change the world forever.
In our epic bicentennial challenge, three teams will attempt to build gigantic locomotives that must pull a 30-ton carriage over our quarter-mile course. Then we'll find out who's the Kelly Holmes of the railway world in the Scrap Heap Loco Sprint. It's truly a colossal challenge.
Team 1 are a trio of seasoned steam freaks who believe the old way is the best way. Jeff, Reva, and Team Captain Turbo are a Somerset of Scrumpy. They're the Clagsters.
Planning to douse the Clagsters' coals are Team 2. Captain Pete, his son Andrew, and family friend Ian are going loco, dreaming of a diesel-driven victory. They're in training.
Last but certainly not least are Team 3. Dino, Steve and Team Captain Mr. C are rail maintenance engineers confident of putting on an electrifying performance. They're the Nutcrackers.
Teams!
Yes!
Welcome to a very special Scrap Heap Challenge. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware, it is exactly 200 years since Richard Trevithick produced the very first steam-powered rail locomotive. Of course, trains have moved on a great deal since then.
Oh, yes, and to celebrate the railway age, we've decided to set one of our toughest challenges to date. You'll need to draw on all your expertise in the field of steam, electrical and diesel locomotion to build robust rail racers that can not only rip it up over our quarter of a mile sprint course, but can also pull a full-size passenger coach in the ultimate test of train toughness.
Now, it's a tall order, teams, and you have just 2 days to labour on your locos. Clanksters, are you fired up and ready?
Yes!
Nutcrackers, are your batteries charged?
Yes!
In training, are you fueled up, ready to go?
Yes!
Wait for it, teams, wait for it. Go!
Hoping to help the Clagsters steam towards victory is an old friend of the show. Formerly chief engineer at the National Railway Museum and now working on the UK's biggest steam engine, he's Richard Gibbon.
Richard.
Hi.
I'm Turbo.
Hello, Turbo.
Hello, Richard. I'm Jeff.
This is Jeff. Jeff.
I'm Andrew.
Hi.
In training can rely on the expertise of a true diesel disciple. A loco builder extraordinaire currently working on new stock for Midland Main Line trains. He's Dave Yates.
Right, Dave. Gents.
Hello, Dave.
Yates.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, Dave.
Ian.
Ensuring that the Nutcrackers don't short-circuit is another familiar face. Fresh from building battery electric vehicles for use at the Athens Olympics, he's back on the heap. He's Nick Bell.
I'm Nick. I'm your team expert.
Hi, Mr. Nick. C. Hi, Mr. C.
Right. Dino.
I'm Dino. Hi, Nick.
All right. Steve.
All right, Steve. All right, Nick. We've got to build a steam locomotive.
The challenge is to build a diesel train.
We've got two tests to do. We've got a traction test, we've got to pull a big carriage, and we've got a speed test.
So we're going to have a boiler on there somewhere, presumably?
We're going to have a boiler. We're going to drive onto one of the axles here. So we're going to put steam engine here.
Starting with the basic bogey, with which all our teams have been provided, the Clagsters aim to build a classic steam loco. They hope to find an old-style steam engine that will be plumbed to a coal-powered industrial boiler that will be kept topped up from a large water tank. A chain and two sprockets will transfer drive from the engine to the axle of the bogie. The Claxter's steamy sprinter has the potential to generate impressive power and speed, but steam locos are notoriously volatile, especially those built in a hurry.
The idea is obviously the bogie to mount a power unit and obviously to drive through a differential or something down to the wheels.
A large diesel-driven vehicle will be central to InTraining's build. They plan to mount the engine, gearbox and rear axle of their donor vehicle directly onto their bogie and drive the bogie wheels by means of a belt and pulleys. By retaining the gearbox, InTraining will be able to select different drive ratios suitable for our haulage and sprint tests, making this potentially the best all-rounder of the three designs. InTraining's Achilles heel is their belt drive. If it loosens, their loco will lose power, and if it breaks, their challenge is over.
Oh, no.
If we start with a bogey, we need electric motor, electric forklift truck, something like that, baggage carts, something like that.
The Nutcracker scavengers will be on the lookout for a battery-driven vehicle, such as a forklift or a milk float, which will sit atop their bogey. Like the Clagsters, they plan to transfer drive from engine to bogey wheels by means of chain and sprocket. This is probably the simplest of the three builds, but electric engines are sealed units, and if they encounter any problems, spares will be hard to find and repairs difficult to undertake. That all sounds simple in theory.
Yes.
Now it's time to make tracks.
Key ingredients.
Boiler.
Boiler, engine,
sprockets.
You're going to want an engine with a transmission.
Batteries.
Electric
motor.
Yeah.
We need valves. We need piping.
Okay, I think that's the basis of what we need.
I think so.
Let's go.
Sprockets and chains first priority.
And so our bicentennial build-off begins.
So, who will stick to the timetable as the build begins in earnest? And whose challenge will go off the rails? We'll find out after the break. A day return to Victoria, please.
Sorry, love. Tea time. Where to, love?
Oh, pull yourself together, Lisa. You don't work on the trains. This is Scrap Heap Challenge, where our three teams have embarked on a great railway journey, building working locomotives from scratch. Now let's go.
Is that a single or return?
Scrap Heap Challenge is celebrating the 200th anniversary of the very first locomotive. And our three teams have been given identical bogies and asked to build trains inspired by different eras of the railway age.
Representing the golden years of steam are the Clagsters. With their expert Richard, they're attempting to build an old-fashioned steam train capable of competing with rolling stock of a more modern design.
Flying the flag for diesel power are InTraining, who are being aided and abetted by expert Dave in their attempt to construct a diesel loco that will be pacey enough to compete in our speed test and strong enough to shift a 30-ton carriage.
Representing the modern age of rail transport are the Nutcrackers and their expert Nick. They've rejected fossil fuels altogether and aim to build a loco powered by electricity alone.
Well, until these sprockets come, you know, we are really limited.
Power from the Clagster's steam engine will be transferred to the axle of their bogie by means of a chain drive. With this in mind, expert Richard and Captain Turbo decide it's time to pile on the pressure.
Jeff Reaver, how are we getting on with sprockets and chains?
One sprocket.
Right, get on and find the rest of them. Good boys, come on. And we want a
7.5 ton lorry wheel.
Like a Bedford TK, something like that.
This may be our biggest build to date, but that's just how the Clagsters like it.
The Clagsters, our West Country team of agricultural enthusiasts, are passionate about engines of any kind. From fairground rides to traction engines, Captain Turbo is an all-round mechanical genius.
Pretty easy-going sort of chap, like they said.
Well then, boys, that's a lovely cup of tea, but I think you'd better get back and do something, because I'm just getting a bit lazy here.
While Farmer Reaver likes nothing better than driving about on his tractor.
He's a big, strong boy, and he can pretty much tackle most things.
Final member of the team is expert mechanic Jeff.
He looks to be the man with the biggest toy, to be fair.
You've just given me some gas and a grinder and a sledgehammer, I can pretty much make you anything.
I think we'll work as a team exceptionally well. Reaver's full-on crazy, so's Jeff. I've always been the boss.
At the end of the day, we're just sort of like, you know, we're just going to go there and have as much fun as possible. That's really what it means to us.
What have you got there, then, Reaver?
Morning, guys. But it looks like to me you've got really the biggest job of scavenging to do, haven't you? You've got a hell of a lot of stuff to get.
Yeah, you just don't find a boiler everywhere.
No. I can genuinely say I do not know how you're going to do it. But there is something about steam, though, isn't it, that's special? I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people watching quietly rooting for the steam team.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's something just a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
It's
come back a bit steam. Everyone wants a little steam engine drive on a weekend.
Yes. Especially with a celebration, you know?
I'm fascinated to see what it's going to look like.
Us too, yeah.
In the diesel depot, Pete and Dave have wasted no time in inspecting their bogey's axle.
Right, so one option is possibly we could actually get a flange to fit onto there.
The chaps are pondering how to mount the belt carriers, while scavengers Ian and Andrew begin the hunt for a practical power source. And trust me, if anyone's going to smell diesel on the heap, these are the boys.
In training are the only one of our teams with their own collection of locomotives, thanks in part to Andrew, who caught the bug at a very young age.
First started driving when I was 5 and I bought my first loco when I was 13.
His long-suffering father, Pete, is team captain.
I think you need something a little larger.
Yeah, I think so.
And with over 25 years rail expertise, knows he's always right.
Say if all goes wrong, we tie the expert to the railway lines and just forget about him.
Completing our trio of oil-burning bodgers is family friend Ian, who has trains in his blood.
I've always been around trains and railways. I'm a fourth-generation railwayman. You know, the photographs of me that tour-like on locos.
Andrew and Pete are well used to working together. Let's hope they don't leave Ian in the dark.
Hey, in training, how's it going?
All right.
OK, so what do you reckon to the challenge? Is it up your railroad?
Yeah, it's doable. We'll see where it goes.
Right.
See if we can get something to drive it, though. That's the biggest problem.
What sort of engine are you looking for, ideally?
So 150-odd horsepower plus, possibly, yes.
Because the bogey, we reckon, weighs about 5 tonne. By the time we finish with it, it'll be about 7 tonne at least.
Some serious horsepower you're going to need. Do you think time's going to be tight? Do you think it's a lot to do in 2 days?
Time's always tight.
Yeah, we can do it. Just see what happens. You know, it's end of the day, you know, hey. Inshallah, you know, God's will, whatever happens, happens.
Oh, Dean, yeah, we're reprioritising. The most important thing that we need chain and sprockets, right? Get that first.
Chain and sprockets, got it.
Easy for Nutcracker's Captain Mr C to say, but harder for his scavengers to put into practice.
Hey.
Dino!
There's still not a chain or sprocket in sight, but something has caught Steve's eye.
There's a motor there. With a brake on it, look.
Hello, Andy. It's Dino here. We've located an old milk float right in the back of the heap, but we're going to need some help to get to it.
Yeah, OK, Dean, no worries. We'll get a hoist up there and lift it out. So stand by, all right?
Drag this back.
Yeah.
Shifting a beaten-up builder's van should prove an easy task for these high-tech haulage heads.
The Nutcrackers, our team of bright sparks from Somerset, reckon they have just the right battery of talent to win. Heading up the team, Captain Mr. C is an Olympic triathlete with a great track record.
Sometimes when he's thinking, he normally goes off on one, so you've got to just give him a nudge just to wake him up,
Joker in the pack, Steve, is their welding supremo.
He likes to laugh and a joke, and he's usually 80% work and 20% messing about.
Completing the threesome is Dino, electrical genius and budding biker.
He's more of hands-on, electrical, mechanical side of things.
I just enjoy the larger things in life.
Working together maintaining rolling stock, they hope to use their modern technological talents to trounce the opposition.
Hey, Andy, I think you need a bigger ring spanner.
We're definitely going to win it. We are going to try our hardest.
I think we'll get on really well. I don't know whether we'll trust Dean on the quad, though.
We are the ultimate. Nobody's going to beat us.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hi, all right?
I realise you're looking for stuff at the moment. There's not a great deal to show for it just yet, is there, I suppose?
Well, we've just located something behind this van here. So it's an electric motor.
Nice beefy one.
Is it? Because that's what I was thinking. When normally on Scrap Heap, when people need electric motor, they need a little windscreen wiper motor or a starter motor, but you need something to move thing.
Yeah, you need to move that weight,
At the moment, I think you're ahead of the game. You've actually got a motor. Even though you haven't got it actually where you need it, you've found one, which is probably doing pretty well.
The Claxters know that their build requires considerably more parts than either of their opponents' designs. Luckily, scavengers Reaver and Jeff have built up a good head of steam as they scour the heap.
Turbo, what about some heavy old girder section?
What are you thinking about it for, Jeff?
Cross members and stuff like that.
This haul of girder section is a real bonus, as it could provide both a means of mounting an engine and also be used to add the weight needed to ensure traction between bogey wheel and track.
Regular viewers of Scrap Heap Challenge will know that our teams are usually keen to build machines that are as light as possible. However, our train tinkerers will be keen to add weight to their vehicles. As both bogey wheels and the tracks upon which they'll run are metal, there's a real possibility of their driven wheels spinning when our team's engines are fired up. Weight applied over the driven axle will provide greater traction, an absolute must when you're trying to pull a 30-ton carriage.
With the trailer straining, it's time to head back to base with an impressive clutch of components and earn early brownie points with expert Richard.
Terrific ballast. And that would be really good for the hooking thing. That's great. There's our handbrake. Absolutely spot on. Brilliant, all these pieces. Right, what are we going to get that tyre off with, Captain? Angle grinder?
No, just take knock. Yeah.
Richard has ambitious plans for this lorry wheel. But before he reveals all, Captain Turbo needs to rid the rim of its tyre. They don't do that at Quick Fit. Claxters, looks like a hive of activity here.
We're all up and going. What we're doing at the moment, we're just trying to get the drive sorted out, which is going to be from the train wheel to this lorry wheel to a sprocket to the engine. This is going to be a problem for all the teams, so we think we'll try and get it cracked first and everything else is, in question marks, easy.
All three teams face the same problem of transferring power from their engine to their bogey's axle. Fitting sprockets or belt pulleys is not an easy job, as the wheels of the bogey cannot be removed, whilst the axle is just too thick to cut and weld back together. With this in mind, the Claxters plan to cut the lorry wheel in half and weld the two halves back together around the axle before welding the reconstituted rim to the inside of the bogey wheel. This will provide the Claxters with a solid carrier onto which they can mount their sprocket.
Jeff?
Back on the heap, steam scavengers Reaver and Jeff are looking excited about something.
I've found the big engine, Babs.
Righto, Babs.
Need to get that trash out of the way.
Yeah.
Then get the big JCB.
A steam engine was top of their scavenge list, and they've hit the jackpot. It's now a case of some delicate refuse removal before they can inspect their find.
Right, just be ready on them brakes, because if that seatbelt comes off, you'll be going for a trip.
All right.
Yeah.
If you think the blue van looks a bit new to be scrapped, you're quite right. It's in perfect working order and belongs to the scrap heap's owner. Oh dear.
The Claxters have found the engine they need for their steam loco in record time. But they're still 200 years behind this man.
Illigan-born Richard Trevithick was 6'2" tall and as strong as an ox, with a reputation as one of Cornwall's finest wrestlers. Working as an engineer in the tin mines of Cornwall, he was inspired to design a high-pressure steam engine that would be light enough to actually travel. The Puffing Devil was a steam-driven road vehicle that was unveiled to the public in 1801. Sadly, the roads of the 1800s were so potholed that the Puffing Devil was unable to travel any distance before getting stuck. Trevithick turned his attention to using his steam engine to drive a vehicle that would travel on rails. After much fiddling, tweaking and tinkering, he was ready to unveil the Penny Darren, the world's first rail locomotive. His work had, however, caught the eye of a certain George Stephenson, who was to develop and improve upon Trevithick's groundbreaking ideas. Along with his son Robert, Stephenson enjoyed great wealth and recognition as a pioneer of the railway age. By contrast, Richard Trevithick died a pauper in 1833. Ironically, his achievements have been commemorated this year on the £2 coin.
Can one of you come across and give me a hand?
OK, on my way. I'll be about 30 seconds, mate.
Back on the heap, in training scavengers Andrew and Ian have found a potential diesel power plant for their loco inside this lorry. Unfortunately, the engine is under the cab, and releasing the cab is proving a little tricky.
So how do we get the cab out?
Work out how to get the cab up, I would. I think it might be a lift-up-by-hand job.
I don't think so, mate. Is there a hand light, then, to pump it up?
There might be.
I'm just trying to look, see if there's anything I'm overlooking.
Hang on, cab release is off.
With Ian and Andrew having one last crack at unearthing the lorry engine, Pete and Dave can do little but tinker with their bare bogey.
Hello. And there's some puzzled looks going on down there. What are you looking at?
Well, what we're looking at down here is the actual bearing for the wheel set. The problem is this is off a passenger carriage, so there's never been any provision for driving the axle. So our fundamental problem is how to get the drive from up here to down to something down there. And
right.
One possibility is to come in on the end of the axle where we've got some tapped holes, etc., and a shaft sticking out the end, which is possibly the easiest way of tackling it.
Do you think you have an advantage being the diesel team over steam and electric?
Pass.
Steve and Dino think that their best bet will be to remove the electric motor from what is in fact an airport baggage trolley in situ. But Nick and Mr. C have other ideas.
Instead of us ripping bits out here, if we could get the whole lot out and get it back, then we've got all the bits, or most of the bits, we need with us.
Yeah.
Yeah? She's smoking.
First thing, Andy, if we undo those bolts at the back and we undo the four shafts...
Morning, chaps. This was described to me as a milk float by your scavengers, but it looks a bit like it would carry some very heavy milk.
Yeah.
I think it was a baggage trolley, actually.
What, from the airport where it pulls all the bags on?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it has an electric motor.
Yeah, which is actually quite fundamental to what we're trying to achieve today, yeah.
And so how much of this will you use, then? Will you just take the motor out, or will you use more bits from here?
We'll use the controller, take the motor, we'll use the axle, we'll use the coupling.
Oh, so you'll use the back axle that's already
on there? Use the back axle that's already on there.
Yeah, we need that. Yeah. We need the lot, basically. Everything part of the body.
Yeah. Right, so you don't know, right.
You never know, we might be able to use that.
I was just going to say, can you not just stick the whole thing on top?
That's a thought, actually, isn't it?
Casting the most highly qualified of eyes over our team's locomotive labours is a man whose childhood obsession with trains developed into his dream job. He's editor of the Railway magazine and all-round train nut, Nick Pigott.
So, Nick, welcome to the heat. Very special event, this. Three teams, three trains. All fairly straightforward, really, isn't it?
That's the way it may look.
But no,
there's nine very worried men out there.
Yes, I'm sure there are.
A lot of stress, and let's get into a few of them. I think the main problem is they're all starting off from the same bogey.
The term bogey is that it's part of a carriage. Is it the two wheels that would have been at one end of a carriage?
That's right. It's basically a frame with two axles in the frame. You can have an unpowered bogey or a powered bogey.
Right.
These particular ones came off what's called an electric multiple unit, so they had electric motors.
So those wheels would have been driving wheels?
No, I think they're actually the trailing wheels of an electric multiple unit.
Right, I see.
They've all got the same problem in that the original axle was plain. They can't get the wheels off the bogey because they're too heavy.
Yeah.
They can't slice through the bogey because it just weakened it.
Right.
So they've got to design a way of cutting the sprocket and then getting
and
it
then
back
fitting
around.
It around that axle. So that axle has to remain intact.
Yes.
We've been used to seeing, you know, quite large trucks or cars or tractors moving along on scrap heap, but these are so big and so heavy. I don't think we have any impression of how much pressure is needed to start them rolling.
Each bogey weighs 5 tonnes before they even start.
Right.
Once they get on the rails, they're going to need all the weight they can on each axle in order to get the grip to pull the coach.
Yeah. But is there one team's overall concept that you think is the one that's got the most potential for working?
It's quite finely balanced at the moment. It's early days yet.
Right.
So I'd rather just reserve judgment on who's going to be in the lead first.
So, which of our three teams of trained tinkerers will reach the next construction station first? And who'll be delayed by leaves on the line? We'll find out after the break.
Oh,
Daddy!
This is ridiculous, Lisa. I'm far too young to be your father, and you know full well you're my co-presenter on Scrap Heap Challenge, where our three teams of loco heads are locked in a Titanic train build-off.
I feel so stupid.
He is the one.
He is the one.
West Country boys, the Clagsters, are building a classic steam-powered loco, and scavengers Reaver and Jeff are getting their first look at the all-important engine they unearthed earlier.
But what we need to do, we've got to get that and perch it and do a bit of measuring.
Definite. Yeah, let's get the forklift around here.
We need to get the forklift.
Yeah.
With no major components to work on, Clagsters expert Richard and Captain Turbo have been able to do little but tinker with their bogey. But that's all about to change.
Come here, Richard. Richard?
What?
That. It was in pieces last time I saw it. No, that'll be really useful for checking the drive, because we'll jack the thing up.
Don't put it in steam, then.
Put it on compressed air. It's brilliant. It's perfect. The size is...
Although the steam engine is a great find, it doesn't completely solve the Clagster's power conundrum. Steam engines are no good without steam, so Reaver must now turn his attention to bringing home a boiler, whilst Richard and Turbo begin work on their drive system.
It's not mild steel, this.
Afternoon, chaps. Don't want to stop you.
Afternoon.
This all looks highly technical to me.
Oh, it's just the makeup plate for the engine.
Is it? This is a plate for the engine.
This is the plate to drive the sprocket from the steam engine, which we've just got.
This is a magnificent machine, isn't it?
It's really scrappy.
It looks like it's been around a few years, possibly.
Well, yes. I think it's probably turn of the 19th, 20th century.
Wow.
And probably from a boat, we think.
I reckon a boat or a launch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's over 100 years old, and you reckon it's still running?
It will turn over. It's a bit stiff, but...
Oh, I see.
Turn.
Yeah, no, it's all moving, isn't it? Oh, my goodness.
It'll turn.
It's phenomenal.
You've got your backwards and forwards on here.
Oh, you've got a forward and reverse as well?
Yeah, this is full forward. And that is full reverse.
That is reverse. So it's quite a stiff gear change.
Yeah. The next step for us is to position the engine and then make the chain drive up.
Right.
Once we've got this hub on the axle sorted out. So it's coming together and we're reasonably happy.
Not reasonably happy. It's wonderful.
Well, I think I better let you get on because you've got a bit of heavy lifting to do. If you need a hand, you know, I'm just over there.
Yeah. Don't call us, we'll call you.
I'll hold that while you arrange it all. Yeah.
Back on the heap, Reaver is budging an old banger in true Clagster style.
Ah, what's under here, Reaver?
Yeah, under what that is.
Under the clapped-out car, he's spotted what looks like a boiler in pretty good nick. So as the forklift is again called into action, the Clagsters are well set. And now only need a water tank before they can start plumbing up their loco engine.
Bright Sparks, the Nutcrackers, got off to a dream start with the discovery of this battery-powered baggage cart, the motor of which they plan to utilise as the prime mover on their electric loco.
I know it's a lot to cut through, but...
Yeah.
It's when we're going to slice the back end of it straight off.
Yeah, okay.
The burning gear and then it's done.
Yeah, let's do it.
They'll transfer drive from their engine to the bogey axle via a chain. That's provided scavengers Steve and Dino are able to unearth that chain and suitable sprockets.
Dino!
We have a cog.
Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Go ahead, Steve. I've just located a cog.
We just need to find a chain to set it, eh?
Yeah, OK. Well done, Steve. Keep looking.
Yes. Yes. Spot on.
Steve's scavenging eye's obviously in. After a matter of minutes, he's happened upon sprocket number two.
Things are looking good for the Nutcrackers. They're the first team to find parts for their drive mechanism.
What do you reckon?
Yes. Aaron, that's quite good.
Top man.
And with all wires carefully labelled to ensure hassle-free reconnection later in the build, the potentially tricky job of removing the baggage cart motor is progressing smoothly.
You got another jack?
I can see what it is.
Do you want an old tyre under there?
We can't do that again.
The tyre wants to come back. Roll forward. Rolling it out now.
Right. We like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Impressive stuff. But when the chaps come to remove the motor's controller from the cab, they discover a mind-boggling bird's nest of wiring.
So if we cut those and pull that out...
We can feed these ones out here.
Which one is it?
See the one I'm twisting?
There's only one wire coming out of that lot into there, isn't there?
To be honest with you, I think I'd just like to put a burning gear right for everything and not take any cables apart and just burn a lot in half.
And the more they unravel and disconnect, the more confusing things become.
Yeah. The other one we cut off was heaters.
Light.
Well, I don't know what that one does.
That'll be the one thing that stops it working, isn't it? Yeah, it's not very clever, is it?
No.
Oh, Nick, Mr. C. That's looking slightly complicated. There's more. It looks like spaghetti.
It does to us as well, actually. We're wondering what it all actually does.
Do you feel like you've really kind of taken a lot more time on this than you'd have wanted to?
There's more wires on this than I thought there would have been.
There's a lot more wires than you'd ever imagine. There's just little wires going to everything, the little switches that you need to have out in one piece, because without them, they just won't work.
What's the advantage of an electric
engine? We're hoping plenty of low-speed torque, so we've got plenty of pulling power for pulling the coach, instant torque. Batteries are heavy. That gives us more weight, more traction. So, again, that's good for pulling power.
Clearly, this is a disadvantage. So, look, I'm going to leave you to carry on with it. Get the fiddly bit done, and hopefully next time I see you, this will be gone and you'll have all this out.
Absolutely.
Good luck. See you in a bit.
All right, thank you.
But if you think the nutcrackers have got problems, spare a thought for in training. They've still to find the diesel power source upon which their design relies. But is there light at the end of the tunnel? No, just rust.
It's obviously the other thing is not a goer, get out, and what's been...
We tried starting it, have we?
No, I haven't tried that yet. You can do it for a giggle if you want.
Give it a blast.
Yeah, right.
Any fuel in it?
Yeah, it's got some in it.
This tractor is over 40 years old, but beggars can't be choosers.
Well, he's going to be brave enough to press the start button. Whoa! Right, fair enough.
The agricultural rust bucket may not be the proverbial crock of gold at the end of the rainbow, but it has shown signs of life, and at this stage of the game, in training can't afford to be fussy.
Let's clear this right the way.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. You're a gentleman.
Life's hard enough. We don't want to make any offer.
So now it's just a simple case of dragging the geriatric tractor from the heap.
Watch out, Ian. You're going to yank strop off when you try that. Wow.
Like that. Yep.
Take two. This time with the strop attached to both tractor and quad. And that's going to pull a 30-ton carriage, is it, lads? Oh, well, at least young Andrew gets to play farmer for the day.
Try jack under there, try jack under back end, split the annulus. You'll split this lot as well, take your twiddly bits of either side.
You want to have a look at the clutch, do you?
Well, you've got to, yes.
As the boys fly into action, they immediately encounter problems. The tractor is so old that our metric spanners don't fit its imperial nuts and bolts.
This is an engineering science programme on how not to undo nuts and bolts with the wrong size spanners, or failing that, mole wrenches.
Engine separated from gearbox. Not a good sign.
Oh, goodness me. Afternoon, gentlemen. Oh.
Afternoon.
Oh, because I've only seen this tractor from a distance, and it looked like a tractor, but now I look at it a bit closer, it looks like a fairly rusty...
Hulk?
A Hulk, yes. Do you think it's going to do what you need it to do?
Hopefully. We can free the clutch up.
Is that what you're looking at the moment? You've got a big problem with the clutch.
We thought the clutch itself, the pressure plate might be broken inside, but it's actually the bearing, which is a lot simpler to do.
Right. So what is the plan then? So how much of it will you use on the...
Everything.
Oh, you will use
probably
the whole thing?
The wheels might disappear.
Take the wheels off.
But if you can get this to work,
right,
it'll be to actually get the drive from the axle from to the... bogey wheels,
yeah,
it make life a lot easier for everybody.
Yes, because what is the plan with that? What are you planning to do?
We haven't got a plan really.
That's developing that plan.
Yeah,
that plan is yet to be planned.
And if a seized clutch wasn't enough, a closer inspection of the tractor's radiator reveals that years of neglect have left it with more leaks than the Welsh field. These were not quite the scenes we'd imagined when we designed a challenge to honour such a rich history.
In the century that followed the pioneering work of Trevithick, locomotives were to develop beyond all recognition from the early iron horses. As steam trains became bigger and faster, tracks began to crisscross the country, allowing goods and raw materials to be easily transported over great distances and ordinary people to travel as never before. The golden age of the railways was typified by iconic locos such as the mighty Flying Scotsman. But by the 1950s, the pressure was on for steam, as more efficient diesel-powered locos began to roll off the production line, leaving only bands of dedicated enthusiasts to keep the steam dream alive. The electrification of mainline services gave rise to the high-speed trains that are now the mainstay of railways both here and abroad. In the 200 years since Trevithick started the ball rolling, we're now able to travel further and faster than ever before. Well, sometimes.
So, Nick, we're over halfway through the first day's build, and, I mean, they have done an enormous amount, all the teams, it seems to me.
Yes,
they've achieved a lot.
It didn't seem as though they were doing a lot in the morning, because they were scavenging then. Yeah. I've been absolutely amazed at the progress that's been made this afternoon. It's getting very exciting, actually. It's poised on a railhead, almost, because the lead keeps shifting. The diesel boys, on paper, they've got the easiest job of the lot, because they've just got to basically link their diesel engine up, get it fired up. But they encountered the most incredible problem shortly after we spoke. They found that the clutch of the gearbox would jam, it completely seized, and they thought they were going to have to just dispense with it and find out some other way of transferring the power from the engine. But they literally separated the tractor, put a gas flame onto the seized clutch and freed it by heating it up and hitting it with a hammer. So, you know, you must give them credit for that,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
You know, so they've come from nowhere, and now they're sort of back in contention again.
Right.
But in the meantime, the steam boys, the Clagsters, they've actually they've come on by leaps and bounds.
I want to put this on there now. Do you want to be my welder?
I'll be your welder. I'll be your welder if you'd like me to.
They've got the more straightforward job to do now, because as long as they follow, you know, good engineering principles, there's no obvious sort of obstacle in their way.
Doesn't this look brilliant?
What's he done?
It's a proper job, isn't it?
We need to do nothing else to that.
Of the three teams, they're the most enthusiastic, and they've worked out in advance better than the other two, I think. So they're actually ahead. In terms of physically moving things into position, they've actually got the boiler lifted onto the bogie now, almost as we speak. But of course, they've got a long way to go.
They've got all
the pipe work to rig up, you know, and that's pressure vessel pipe work. So they've got to be very careful with what they do.
Right.
Before the competition started, I thought the battery boys had the most straightforward job to do.
Yeah.
All they had to do was literally link up the battery to the motor to the wheels.
Yeah.
They've actually got their motor out and their differential out. And they're now sort of ready to load that onto the bogie.
I mean, it does strike me that it would have been a lot easier for the Nutcrackers to have put the whole machine that they got on top of the...
I think they're going to find they need the weight. But they've made their bed, they've got to line it.
Yeah.
They may find that they can use the weight by, you know, welding it onto other parts of the bogie anyway, and that would distribute the weight more evenly. So they're going very, very slowly at the moment because they've got this wiring to contend with. And I don't think they expected to find quite so much wiring.
But presumably, if they hadn't taken the whole thing to pieces, they wouldn't have to worry about the wiring.
Yeah. that's the irony, isn't it?
Yeah, rather unfortunate. That.
Yeah.
As the sun sets over the heap, it's full steam ahead for the Clagsters. They've got their hands on an animal feed hopper, which, with minor modifications, will become their water tank.
OK, push him on forward, Jeff.
In case you're wondering, Richard hasn't shrunk. That's a very big spanner.
Can I come out, please?
Don't worry about groaning it off, man.
Captain Turbo is applying his usual softly approach to creating a chimney for the boiler.
Ready for this one, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Whilst the erstwhile expert puts the finishing touches to a spinning handle that will allow him to regulate steam entering the engine. But even Richard isn't perfect.
Right, this is classic because this is the expert making a cock-up. Because what I've done, I'm trying to make this arm move in an arc using this screwed rod. And what I've done is put lock nuts at that end, which anchors that end, and I've put lock nuts there, which anchors that, and it's a complete cock-up, and it doesn't work.
We've got a little word for that, haven't we?
No, we won't use it.
Having failed to patch up their tractor's perforated radiator, in training have decided to cast their net for an alternative cooling system, and this family five-door has provided just that. Better still, Andrew has spotted a pulley that could prove useful for his team's belt drive.
OK, y'all.
In the wine bar.
Yeah.
Back in the build area, the mood has lightened.
Right.
Thank you.
With the clutch functional, it's time to reunite the tractor's engine and gearbox.
Want to try just lift that linkage up slightly?
There's no time to celebrate. Fixing the clutch has cost valuable time, and the guys need to be in a position to get their power source onto the bogey by tomorrow morning at the latest if they're going to finish the build on time.
Have we got fuel in there yet?
I'll tell you what, I bet the tap's done.
Success! The diesel engine has started and the all-new cooling unit is fixed in place. Well, almost.
Hey!
I think that just dropped on the fan.
Is that that strap?
Over the wall, the nutcracker's run of bad luck continues.
We've got problems, Nick.
What?
Bottom brush box is hanging off.
The boys elected not to mount the whole of the baggage cart on their bogey, and they may regret their decision, as they appear to have damaged the motor when removing it from the chassis.
It broke right off for the...
Inside an electric motor, two fixed conventional magnets sit around three magnetic coils. When an electrical charge is applied to each coil in turn, they become live magnets and are repelled by the conventional magnets, rotating the drive shaft. Power is supplied to the coils by two sprung contacts, known as brushes. Sadly, one of the Nutcracker's brushes has been damaged and is no longer in contact with the coils. No contact means no charge. No charge means no motor.
Teams, you have 11 hours remaining, which of course means it is 1 hour to beer o'clock. Hey! 1 hour left, teams, thank you.
Not beer for me, I'm not allowed it.
We're a lot further than halfway through the build.
The clock is certainly ticking for the Nutcrackers. Dino is working furiously to repair the plate that holds the all-important brushes in place on their electric motor. Damaging the plate when removing the motor from the baggage cart was a big setback, but the Nutcrackers are refusing to panic.
Well, if you don't mind, Steve.
Mr. C and Nick have begun work on mounting their sprockets on both the electric motor wheel and bogey axle. Once the sprockets are mounted, the guys will be in a strong position, provided they can get the motor working. No pressure, Dino.
In training, have had a much more positive end to the day than their electrical adversaries. With their diesel engine running smoothly, they can now turn their attention to the complex task of attaching their belt pulley to the tractor's rear axle.
The diesel boys have certainly pulled things round in the last few hours, but it's been the Clagsters' day. With their engine, boiler and water tank mounted on their bogey already, there's cause for further celebration when Reaver emerges from the gloom with a length of chain that should be meaty enough to drive the bogey axle.
No, very excited about my chain.
That's more like it.
And better still, like an oily owl, he's spotted the larger of the two sprockets he's been scavenging for all day.
That's the big one. Go back and find the small one, young man.
So with seconds left, Team Steam are just one sprocket away from solving their drive dilemma.
OK, teams, hold it there for the day. It's time to shift your semi-built shunters to the sidings for the night and take some well-earned rest.
Straight to bed, boys, as we'll all be back here tomorrow when you'll have just 10 hours to refine your rolling stock. But well done, teams. It's been a good first day.
Well done, teams. Halfway there.
Halfway there.
So with just 10 hours remaining to ready their rattlers, will our teams reach the terminus on time? Or will they be handed a fine for late running? We'll find out after the break.
Shall I see you again?
It's the other platform, isn't it? You'll have to run. Don't bother about me. Mine's not due for another few minutes.
Shall I see you again?
Yes, of course. Perhaps you could come out to Ketchworth one Sunday. It's rather far, I know, but we should be delighted.
Please? Please?
What is it?
Will you join me on the scrap heap where our teams have just one day to complete work on their large lumbering locomotives?
You'll miss your train.
All right.
Run.
Goodbye.
I'll be there.
Thank you, my dear.
So our three teams of intrepid engineers return to their build areas, understandably weary after yesterday's exertions. They'll need to get those stiff muscles moving, though, as the scrap heap clock is about to start ticking again.
You concentrate on the pipe work a minute, and I will. We'll concentrate on some other jobs.
Does it look any better in daylight?
No.
No.
A welcome back, teams. Now, on the sound of the whistle, you may return to your task of transforming trash into trains.
Remember, teams, you have just 10 hours to ready your rail racers for tomorrow's test.
Hooray! 10 hours. Oh, oh
right,
dear.
You're going to sort the chain out, find the sprocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
See if we can do it, deal.
We'll grab the electrical box.
Right away.
I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, cheers.
What do you reckon?
With the build back up and running, rumours of underhand tactics begin circulating round the heap. Nutcrackers Steve and Dino head straight for the Clagsters build area.
Turbo.
Yes, mate.
You're not after any cogs, are you?
No.
We're after a chain.
Any chance of a trade?
That's the wrong pitch you've got, huh? Different pitch, mate.
Bit of chain here, boys. Try him for size.
Looks like what we need, Dino.
Well, he looks expensive, doesn't he, Turp?
Yeah, we'll sell him that one, even though it's not ours, Geoffrey.
What do you reckon?
Looks like we're in business.
It appears that Reva found two chains last night, but the sneaky Clagsters chose to keep quiet about their double find.
They told us they only have one.
Right. Schemers.
But it seems it's not only the Clagsters who've been hoarding components.
It's too big for us, so...
We'll let them have it.
This sprocket won't fit the Nutcracker's chain, but looks to be exactly the right pitch for the Clagster's drive system.
Yeah. Thanks for the chain. Think you might need that. Boys. Doesn't fix our pitch. Here we go.
Oh, well, at least there's honour amongst thieves.
Where have all the power tools gone?
Away from the sprocket skullduggery, in training are employing more conventional scavenging methods, and the hard graft pays off as Ian and Andrew unearth a belt of the correct width for the pulleys they scavenged yesterday.
Failure to find a belt has given our diesel doyens a mechanical migraine. Their opponents have been able to mount their engines ahead of time, as their chains can be easily adjusted in length by adding or removing links. Unlike chains, belts are non-adjustable, and in training have been unable to mount the engine on their bogey as they've not known what distance they needed to leave between their pulleys to ensure correct belt tension. Even now they've found the belt, engine position will be critical, as the belt length cannot be altered to make up for even minor miscalculations.
Hey, Pete. Acting time present for you. Look excited.
Oh, thank heavens for that.
Hooray.
At least the tights are safe after all.
With the belt delivered and time slipping away, the boys must now get to work on readying their bogey for the engine.
So, Nick, the clock is definitely ticking now, I think, for all three teams. Because, you know, last night I thought they've really done well. This morning, you can see all the gaps between the things they've still got to do.
Yes, it's getting very nerve-wracking now, isn't it?
The Clagsters look like, they, you know, at a glance in the night time, it looked like, wow, they've nearly finished. But then I had a look this morning.
Well,
it's an enormous amount to do.
Appearances can be deceptive. The Clagsters look as though they're way ahead. Mm. But, in fact, they've got so much work to do, as you say. They've got all their water pipes to fit up, and they're hunting around for central heating pipes. They can't use those for the steam because of the pressure, so they've got to find the right sort of metal, copper probably, for the steam pipes. Right. Then they've got to weld them all up in such a way that they're not going to leak. Yeah. So that's going to take an enormous amount of time. With half a day left, you know, it could be that they're overtaken by one of the other teams.
Right. Yeah, because in training, they've got all the... From what I can gather, all they've really got to do is mount their tractor, run a belt around the two wheels they've put on there. They've got all that fabricated already.
In training, are poised for a great leap forward, I feel. They're way behind if you look at them, but all they've got to do is get that tractor lifted onto that frame, position it just right, and then weld it up, and then they've only got their drives to worry about, really.
Mm. Well, the Nutcrackers also, they've had their fair share of disasters, haven't they? But I mean, they seem to be overcoming those.
Well, again, brilliant engineering. I'm very impressed with what they've done. They've actually fixed their commutator and bush problem that we had yesterday. And they've now got their motor drive control box loaded onto the bogey, and they're now wiring that up. So, you know, again, they are well ahead of where they were yesterday.
Our judge is absolutely right. Expert Nick spent yesterday carefully cutting this sprocket in two and is now working out its final position on the axle. Meanwhile, Dino is busy draining oil from their motor's gearbox.
What are you cooking today, Dean?
Dinner time.
Lovely. Lovely gravy for you boys.
I was going to say it's a bit like the missus's, but it's...
Is it?
No.
Well, it's not as lumpy as that.
No.
Oh, you're dead.
You're dead.
For sure.
With the oil drained and Steve in the domestic doghouse, Dino's keen to gain access to the motor's differential gear.
A differential allows two driving wheels to turn at different speeds when a car turns a corner. This is because the outside wheel must travel further than the inside one. If one of the wheels is off the ground, the differential will direct all of the engine's power to the airborne wheel. Unless the Nutcrackers can find a way of locking up their differential, all the power will be directed to the redundant wheel and not their sprocket and chain, making their loco a no-go.
So it'll be welded there, there and there.
And in true scrap heap style, they've decided to lock their differential by jamming a bolt in it.
Right, so you've checked the bolt in there. That's jammed it up nicely.
We're just going to weld it up in a minute.
Like the Nutcrackers, steam enthusiasts the Clagsters have also opted for a chain drive, and Jeff has been entrusted with mounting the all-important axle sprocket.
He needs to tip back towards the wheel.
Are they flush with me nuts?
Gentlemen,
there's a little phone.
Oh, look, you've done so much. Done so much.
Well,
the clock is ticking now, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can tell you've got your work
cut out.
Less
than 7 hours, but we've got the pinion, this sprocket now firmly fastened to the axle. That was the big worry.
Right.
The pipe work is our next opportunity, crisis, whatever you call it.
Next door, in training, have been working like diesel dogs to carefully position their engine mounts and are now ready to lift their tractor onto the bogey.
The engine is now in exactly the right position to line up the pulleys, but even so, fitting the belt is not going to be plain sailing.
We've got the pulley to go on here. That's going to be in our way, that's going to be in our way, and some of this chassis member's going to be in our way before we can get up to the pulley up there.
It's another setback for in training, but at least while Ian gets brutal with the offending suspension springs, the rest of the team begin work on their braking system. They plan to operate the bogey's original brake by turning the tractor steering wheel.
Ian's made light work of removing the spring, and now it's a simple matter of fitting the belt.
It's not actually that far out, that.
Probably have to take a bit of tension up, Matt. We'll have to blow that away, I reckon.
Andrew makes it sound easy, but bogey chassis are built to last, and time is short.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. 5 construction hours remaining, team. Thank you.
It looks as though all three teams are facing an uphill struggle. We'll leave them to their labours and talk trains with a real rail authority.
So, Michael Bailey, transport historian and author, welcome to the heap.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you here. Now, I'm just thinking, if I was a sort of lowly peasant in about the late 1700s and I needed to get from my village to the local town, what were the choices that I had on offer to get me there before the age of steam?
Not a lot of choices, I'm afraid. You either used your feet, or you hitched a lift on a passing cart or something like that. Right. But you didn't have enough money to afford to hire a horse or get on a stagecoach, anything like that. No, it was 2 feet, I'm afraid.
Which is why most people stayed in the village they were born in.
Exactly right. That's right. That's it.
So the impact of the steam age then was absolutely colossal.
It was extraordinary. Yes. Yeah. As soon as the railways offered the opportunity for travel at a price that a lot of people could afford, then all of a sudden there was this extraordinary latent demand for travel, and everybody wanted to travel. They travelled there hundreds, thousands.
Right. Most people in this country have heard of the Stevensons, one of, you know, even if they get them confused, the father and son. But Richard Trevithick is a fairly unknown name.
Yeah, he deserves to be much better known. In fact, Richard Trevithick, he was a very fine engineer, but he was a hopeless businessman.
Right.
And consequently, he didn't succeed financially, whereas the Stevensons did succeed financially, and that's one of the reasons. But the other reason is that Trevithick hadn't got the necessary staying power. He gave up too soon. He gave up because his locomotives were too heavy.
Right.
Whereas if he persevered to the point where the track had been improved, yeah, then, of course, he would have succeeded. And it must have been to his great regret, yeah, that that opportunity passed him by.
Now, you're in the perfect position, but with a man with your historical grasp, to give us your impression of the three machines that we're building here today, the steam, the electric and the diesel one. I mean, which one do you think, historically speaking, has the most chance of winning the competition?
Well, all three teams are doing a fantastic job, aren't they? I mean, they really are. It's fascinating to watch them working. But, you know, I think, well, being British, I've got this wonderful, wonderful hope that the steam engine's going to win.
I thought you might say that. I did think you might say that.
The neutrals in the crowd may well be rooting for the Clagsters, but all this historical goodwill may prove to be misplaced. Our steam team have fitted their second sprocket and chain, but if they don't get a bit pronto with their pipework, they could be in trouble.
Now that's steam to the injector. Multitasking here.
Multitasking? Are you multitasking over there, Jeff? What's multitasking?
It's the management fart speak for people doing more than one job. It's what engineers have been doing all their lives.
The Clagsters always knew that theirs was the most complicated of the three builds. Multitask they might, but with a mountain of pipework still to contend with, perhaps we can begin to understand why the age of steam came to an end.
The Nutcrackers don't have to worry about plumbing, and with their battery safely back on board, it's a simple case of connecting it to the motor and ensuring she's a runner.
Put the right hand there, have you? Nothing.
With less than 4 hours left, the Nutcrackers will have to pray that this is the result of a dodgy connection and not the faulty brushes they thought they'd fixed this morning.
Ready for a try, Dino? Handbrake's a bit tight. Yes!
Yes!
Absolutely fantastic. What a relief.
Ideal.
Relief all round. So what was the problem?
Hey, Nutcrackers. Yeah, afternoon. Yeah. Is everything going a bit peachy over here?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick, that is the biggest smile I've seen on your face since you've been
relief,
here.
Relief, honestly. I just have visions of spending hours going through all this spaghetti trying to get it to work, but we don't have to do that now.
We plugged it in, switched it on, nothing. Everybody's hearts sunk.
No.
We're all sort of looking at one another, then remembered we hadn't plugged the foot pedal in. Plugged the foot pedal in, completed the circuit, it's fine, and away it went.
Brilliant. And that's just it.
Everybody's hearts lifted then. You could see it, and everybody said, oh, go for that.
Well, I think it's fair to say, Nick, it's been a quite extraordinary build, isn't it? I mean, they've done an amazing amount in the time allowed.
I'm absolutely full of admiration for all three teams, Rob. Not just this afternoon, but over the 2 days. I'm awestruck by it. Yesterday, the in-training team got their tractor engine running, but today we've had an even bigger breakthrough in that the Nutcrackers connected up their battery to their motor, and it runs.
All right. So the only engine we actually haven't had running now is our steam boys, the Clagsters. They haven't actually got theirs going.
No, but then you would understand that. They have actually introduced some quite interesting innovations. They've erected a bicycle on their bogey.
The bike is operating a pump.
It's what's called a feed pump.
And so someone has got to pedal all the time they're running. That is excellent.
Yeah.
I had a good look at the in-training machine, and when they first said they're going to use a belt, I went, that just can't possibly work. There's no belt-driven trains ever, surely. But
no,
the belt's pretty substantial, isn't it?
Yes, it's very substantial. It's well up to the job. The interesting thing is, all three engines develop about the same horsepower.
Is that right?
About 25 horsepower.
Oh, so it really is anyone's guess as to who's going to...
It's a real three-horse race.
It is.
In training are in danger of being non-starters in our three-horse race if they don't get their belt fitted soon. Despite the diesel team's best efforts, parts of the bogey are still obstructing the belt, and more time-consuming refinements are needed.
Yeah, we need to cut more off there, particularly if we extend. Okay. And we need to cut more off round there.
Round where? Round there?
Yeah. I don't know what you're like, more than else. You're going to want a little bit more up there, I'm afraid.
Up there, Dave.
Teams, the Scrap Heap Express is approaching the terminus. You have 1 hour remaining. 1 hour remaining, teams.
Well, what do you reckon, Richard?
I think we should do it. I think we can do it.
The steamy Clagsters were yesterday's early pace setters, but with minutes left, they're the only team not to have checked that their engine runs. They do have the option of running a compressed air test, but before that's possible, every pipe must be connected and every joint sealed.
For the fully charged Nutcrackers, it's a different story. With their chain fitted and engine fixed in place, the lads can sit back, admire their handiwork and taunt the opposition.
See this? That's... go.
Yeah, that's not flat the battering.
Stop.
We're going to win!
No, you're not!
Well, our electrical enthusiasts do have a point. There are literally minutes left, and if in training and the Clagsters don't get a move on, the Nutcrackers will be unchallenged in tomorrow's test.
Hey, he's coming up.
He's coming up.
We got just over 20.
Let's go with it.
Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Okay, teams, hold it there. Your 2 days of turning towers of trash into tip-top trains has finally terminated.
That's right, teams. Tomorrow morning, your locos will line up for the most rigorous of rolling stock examinations. Well done, teams. It was a great build. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done.
Well, it's the end of a classic build, but who'll be victorious in tomorrow's mega challenge?
Will it be the high-voltage Nutcrackers with their battery-powered beast?
Maybe it'll be In Training and their agriculturally-inspired diesel monster.
Or will this eccentric steam loco strike a blow for the past and its creators, the Clagsters? We'll find out after the break.
Well, I hear my train coming.
Slap it on.
Welcome back to Scrap Heap Challenge, where the weather has taken a traditional turn and our three teams are refining their railway races before running in one of our toughest tests to date.
First up for our teams is the ultimate haulage test, as we challenge their locos to pull 30 tonnes of railway carriage over our quarter-mile course. After that, it's on your marks for the railway sprint as we test our team's locos for sheer speed. As the Scrap Heap shunter sets the carriage for round one, the teams take time to fine-tune their locos, as our judge looks forward to what promises to be a day of terrific train time trialling.
I don't know if it was raining on the day of the original Rainhill trials, but it's certainly a little bit damp today, isn't it?
It's very damp. It's such a shame after the glorious 2 days during the build. Greasy rails are worse than wet rails. These are pretty wet, so they may have to use sand to get a grip when they first start.
So there's two parts to the test. There's a speed run and a pulling the big carriage one. Yes. I mean, is there a team that you think's got a definite advantage with one and less with another?
I'm going to go for the Nutcrackers for speed.
Right.
I'm going to go for the Clagsters for haulage, though.
Right.
They've got a very beefy machine there. There's a lot of heavy engineering they've put on it. They're really going for that haulage record. Right.
Nick fancies the Clagsters to be head haulage honchos, but it's our electric enthusiasts, the Nutcrackers, who are first to shackle up to the 30-tonne carriage. But will their recently repaired electric motor stay the course?
Whoosh, we're going to melt the rails.
Yeah.
Nutcrackers, it's only a 30-tonne carriage! Away you go!
Getting the weighty carriage moving is the key here.
That's it. Keep it going.
Give it some speed.
Go on, Andy.
We've got it.
We've definitely got it going.
It's a steady start and the chain seems to be holding.
Robert Talisa, Robert Talisa, over.
Reading aloud and clear, Rob.
It's moving, it's actually moving.
They got going without too much problem at all. I was really surprised how quickly they gathered momentum, over.
It looks like it's going at a fair old lick. It's coming down towards us like a proper train.
The guys desperately need to pick up speed in the home straight.
It's supposed to be harder than that. We're going to have to load up that carriage.
Look at them all sitting there.
Really good.
That's brilliant.
And with their electric motor working at full RPM, the boys are fast approaching the finish line. Oh, yeah!
Rogers to Llewellyn, you're reading me, over.
I read you loud and clear, Lise.
That looked like an incredibly impressive run. Did you have the time on it?
Yep, the Nutcrackers scored an amazing time of 1 minute 42 seconds on their first run.
I'm very, very impressed. Well done, Nutcrackers.
Well, I'm very impressed. That's set quite a thing for the rest of them to
keep
up with.
That applause was spontaneous.
Yeah.
I really felt pleased for them because they've worked so hard, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Nutcrackers have certainly got us off to an impressive start. Now it's the turn of In Training to fly the flag for the diesel age. But will their bodged belt drive cope with the torque of the tractor?
In Training! Don't spare the horses! It's the carriage pull!
Attention!
It's a veritable snail-paced start for the diesel boys.
Oh, here they come.
There's a movement.
Nope,
there's a movement. Not fast movement, but there is some movement.
No, that's a bit slow, isn't it?
It is.
Mind you, let's give them a chance to build up speed.
If I was being kind, I'd say it was a slow, steady start-off, but I think I could actually walk faster.
At least the belt's staying on.
Yeah, I think the others were here by now.
I think they were.
This is where the Nutcrackers began to really pick up pace.
Now, this sounds like a few old diesel shunters right there. I've heard in my time.
Chugging away, weren't they?
Yeah, chugging's the right word then.
And after what seems like a lifetime, In Training are finally in sight of the finish line.
Rogers to Llewellyn. I don't know if you read me, but
I feel like I've grown an entirely set of nails since that happened.
I mean, we were waiting for quite a long time to see any sign of them as they came round the bend.
But actually, their time was
2 minutes 13 seconds for that run. 2 minutes 13.
I did grow a new set of nails.
A time of 2 minutes and 13 seconds leaves In Training over half a minute behind the Nutcrackers. But their gearbox should help them in the sprint. Last, but by no means least, it's the Clagsters. But will their 100-year-old engine puff its way into the lead, or will they run out of steam?
Clagsters, I hope you've got a good head of steam. It's time to test your pulling power.
That was an actual puff. I definitely saw a puff.
Yeah, there's definitely some white...
It's puffing.
A plume of white smoke behind that tree.
After a bumpy start, the Clagster's maiden voyage seems to be going well.
That sounds like a train.
It sounds like a steam train.
Oh, look at that. That is brilliant.
Go on, my son! Let her have it!
It's the Flying Scotsman, not the Flying Rivet.
They're motoring now.
What do you reckon? Do you think Trevithick's looking down from the heavens now and smiling broadly?
I think he's had a hand in this.
What?
In terms of speed, I don't think it's sort of...
No, it's not doing too badly, is it? I mean, it is a vertical boiler engine, after all. They've never been noted for their speed.
It looks good, but what have they got left for the last few yards? 1.42 seconds. It's a dead heat.
What an amazing result for the Clagsters. After round one, they're neck and neck with the Nutcrackers, showing that their 100-year-old steam engine is more than a match for the Nutcrackers' modern electric motor. Diesel disciples in training are by no means out of the running. And with the sprint next, we're set for a grand finale to our mega challenge.
First into their blocks are the Nutcrackers.
Nutcrackers. A few smiling faces here.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
How do you reckon you're pulling run one?
That's pretty good.
Now, of course, we've got the speed test next.
Yeah.
So how do you reckon that's going to go?
That even better.
Really?
Even better. Yes. We're going to be even quicker.
You got any particular tactics or just go for it?
Yeah, flat tactics.
Love it. Look, I hope your speed test goes as well as your pulling test. And you should be very happy at the end of that. So well done.
Thank you very much. Great, thanks.
So with Steam Boys, the Clagsters snapping at their heels, it's vital that the Nutcrackers put in a really fast time.
Nutcrackers, it's the sprint. Time to test your electric surge.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
What was that?
Could have been the pins on his death.
The Nutcrackers heard that worrying crunch, but decide to stick with it.
He's right open. Where does he go?
Oh, that's hurting.
I think the Nutcracker's going to be a really hard team to beat.
Good.
That's pretty
that's
good.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I reckon that's 15 to 20.
Judge Nick always tipped the Nutcrackers for the sprint, and they're not disappointing. As they fly towards the finish line, it looks like an excellent run.
They're really enjoying themselves.
But that looked fantastic, over.
Yeah, there was I predicting that they wouldn't go much faster. They've gone a lot faster. They did that run in 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Yeah, man, the Nutcrackers are sweet. Get it? Sorry, terrible joke.
1 minute, 2 seconds is a fast run. And when added to their carriage pull, the Nutcracker's combined time of 2 minutes, 44 seconds looks pretty unbeatable.
In training, we're trailing after the carriage pull and have nothing to lose as they prepare for the sprint.
So, Andrew, what did you reckon to your first pulling test?
I think we did quite well. We got to N, which is a good thing. Thought, didn't know if we'd quite get there.
OK, so you reckon this is going to be built more for speed than for pulling?
We'll see.
Well, very best of luck. The sun's come out for you.
Yeah,
so,
need it.
So, cross fingers, you'll be able to get up a good speed for the end.
Yeah, OK.
Good luck. See you later.
See
ya. Don't worry.
So it's do or die for the diesel underdogs.
In training, it's time to fuel your ambition with the sprint.
Go for it, Barry!
Let's see if they appear any faster this time.
Yes.
As expected, it's full diesel ahead.
Fair play, they're going at a right old whack.
We just lost brakes, guys.
Don't worry. Keep going for it.
I'm not slowing it down.
No, no.
They're going much, much faster, aren't they?
Just go for it.
Definitely, that's a huge increase in speed, isn't it?
But with no brakes, it would be. The finishing post is in sight, and it looks like an impressive run. But of more immediate concern is how are they going to stop?
Yeah!
Lisa to Robert, can you read me? I think that run was a lot faster than the last one. Over.
Yeah, that run was indeed breathtakingly fast. They actually completed the course in 1 minute and 9 seconds, and the only problem was that they didn't stop completing it once they went past the finish line. They actually disappeared out of view, but we have heard a reliable report that, all crew are safe and well, but a little bit further up the track than they meant to be.
The good news is that having experienced brake failure in training have come to a halt on a bridge over the A48. The bad news is that although their time of 1 minute, 9 seconds is a respectable one, it's not good enough to beat the Nutcrackers. In training's diesel dreams are over.
That means only steamy speedsters, the Clagsters, now stand between the Nutcrackers and victory.
Well, Turbo.
Hello.
Now, how fast do you reckon this baby is going to go on just the speed run with nothing to pull?
Flat out, and how fast that is, we don't know.
Any ideas? 20 miles an hour?
Maybe a little bit more, hopefully.
Brilliant.
But we really don't know.
Well, I can't wait to see how fast she goes. I really can't.
Thank you.
She's making a lot of noise. I think I better let you get back to her and get her primed and ready for the speed run.
That's
so
right.
Good luck. I'll
Thank
see you in a
you.
Bit. Clagsters, they say the oldest are the best. Prove it in the sprint.
Go on. Go on, give it to her. Come on, Richard.
Jeff knows it's going to take something special to beat the Nutcrackers.
Look at them go!
They're giving it everything.
I reckon they've got this.
That steam engine is operating at full capacity. Look at Reva pedalling that pump.
Yes!
Robert Talisa, over.
I read you loud and clear, Robert. What's happening?
Well, I've got some amazing news, basically. 200 years after Trevithick steam locomotive...
The Clanksters have just passed the finish
line in exactly 1 minute.
1 minute. They beat the Nutcrackers by
literally 2 seconds, so steam has won the day.
It may have looked as if the Clanksters loco was about to blow at any minute, but by pushing their puffing princess to the limit, they've beaten the Nutcrackers by just 2 seconds to record a most fitting victory in this bicentennial year.
Well, teams, the last 3 days have seen probably the biggest, certainly the heaviest, and one of the best scrap heap challenges ever. I think you've done the memory of Trevithick proud, so I think you can be incredibly proud of yourselves and give yourselves a round of applause. Well done, all Woo! The teams. Yay! In this, the 200th year since the first ever steam locomotive was built, I'm very pleased to announce that the winners, by just 2 seconds, with the steam engine, is the Clanksters! Well done! Well done!
That's it for this epic scrap heap special. So join us again next year for some more Titanic tinkering.
And you can find out more about the locomotive at channel4.com/scrapheap. Next tonight, Samira Ahmed and Bridget Nzeku with the Channel 4 News.